Thanks, Chad. It was good to worship with everyone, even though we can't hear each other singing. It's comforting to know that we sing in spirit and we worship God together from many places. And we're blessed this morning to have Bishop Keith with us. And I'm just thankful for the capability that you can, you know, present with us, Keith. And even though you're at your own location, we can hear from you and are blessed by your presence. And so I just want to have a word of prayer for you, and then I'm going to turn it over and we can hear what you have to share with us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time together, and we reflect on it is truly your spirit, Lord, that brings us together in different circumstances and different across different cultures, languages, and even physical space. As we're experiencing this morning and have been for many weeks. But we still rejoice in the brotherhood, in the communion that we have with you, Jesus, and with each other through your Holy Spirit. And as we seek understanding, be with us, Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what Keith is sharing, what you have laid on his heart. Help him to communicate it clearly. Help us to have a supernatural understanding of not just the words that he is speaking in a natural way, but to have those spiritual eyes and ears to understand and to apply where you are guiding us, what you are leading in us, and how that may be different for each one of us. And yet there is still a common thread to be found. So help us to have the spiritual understanding to grasp those things. Bless us in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it is pretty amazing to be able to connect in this way, and I'm particularly grateful for the opportunity I have to be able to connect with the body at Living Light. We are indeed in unusual season, unusual times, and I always say that it is in unusual times where the God who is bigger than all the things we can see or imagine is present in ways that he's inviting us to and calling us to engagement at a whole different level. And so a part of my desire in this place is to continue to speak the presence of God, the truth of God, the sovereignty of God, the engagement of God right into our midst. And you know, as I connect with churches and I connect with leaders, especially, I realize that we're just in times where it's so hard to know how do I find a way forward? How do I walk with God in this? So what does it look like? And it also exposes to us in a lot of ways our tendency to say, when I'm in control and things are the way that I am comfortable with them, then I'm happy and God is good. But the reality is that God's goodness goes far beyond that. In fact, we probably haven't really reached into the heart of God's goodness when our posture is one of when things are good and I like it, then that's where I find God's goodness. I'm often reminded of the Masoretic Christus Church in Ethiopia, which was probably in the 80s, it would have been. I don't have all the time exactly there, but probably been in the 80s when a Marxist regime came in, and a church of 50,000, so the congregations, this network of churches of 50,000, was forced to go underground. The government mandate was no more than 15 people per could gather together, and most of the leaders, most of the pastors and leaders were imprisoned. Most of them were men. And they were forced to go into underground and gathering in small groups. It ended up that many times it was the women who led that. And for 9 years, a good friend of mine, Talahu Mbeyene, was in prison for almost the five of those years, and tells the stories of what God did in his life and in among them through those hard times. And there was tremendous growth that happened in the church, but it was hard. God was present. God was good, and they went in with 50,000 members. They came out from those 9 years of Marxist regime at about 500,000. And you ask the question, what caused that to happen? It was intense pressure It was a need to rely on God. It was the fact that we couldn't rely on ourselves. And it put us in a place where they needed to trust God to provide for them. Now, that feels far different than what we're in, because we're there's no way we can say we're persecuted like that in America, though some narratives are trying to push that particular piece. The truth is we've got tremendous religious liberty, and especially in our state. It's just that the reality of a outbreak that we're in right now, which with too many unknowns, there's a desire for leaders to try to play it safe, maybe sometimes too safe. But we could also say that the reality is, you know, very few people actually ever need their seatbelt. So we probably should just stop obeying that law, because it's kind of foolish. How many of you have actually been thankful for a seatbelt? And so I don't say that to propose that. I'm saying the reality is, in that context, we're always looking to try to find a place to walk in safety. And so I think for me, part of what's stirring in my heart, and most of you, I hope, had a chance to watch the video of my message that I've shared with the district churches. But in that, really at the core is this image that I feel like I keep looking at and pondering, and that is this one of clarity. It's the word that was given to me. I shared more about that, but I use this image here and put it in front of us, because the reality is this is what God is doing in me during this season of being at home a lot more, but also just trying to walk with leaders to lead into that space. And that is that I sense, as I shared in the message, that God is calling us to a place to be able to see with new eyes, that we're not going with what we thought we knew, how God works and how God speaks, but there's something else happening. And that he's taking us out of our comfort zones to put us in a place where we're, in a sense, given the opportunity to listen more deeply, but that doesn't mean we necessarily are going to do that. One of the things that I think about often in this context and with this image is, you look here at the cityscape and all the stuff within the lens, you're like, well, I know where that's at. I know what city that is. I know what, you know, whatever it is that we're looking at in that context. And in the midst of that, you look at all the other spaces here, still the city, but you can't see clearly. And I believe that's what kingdom insight is all about, is that this is what the kingdom looks like, not with the lenses, but without the lenses, when we don't have the lenses to give clarity. When we don't have the heart of God and the perspective of God, but we're only going with human wisdom, we say, oh, that's blurry. That I can't see. So I don't know what I'm doing here. So I'm going to go back to the way that I knew. I'm going to go back to the way that I understand how God works, and the ways in which God is calling us to engage. And in that context, I think really for me, one of the things that I've been encouraging leaders to do is to say, what is it that God is speaking to you in the midst of this? Not how do I get out of this situation? And there's even hearing those responses for some of us were like, what are you talking about, Bishop? Come on. I mean, like, we've got to survive. We need food. We need, you know, whatever. And I agree in all those things, but where is God in the midst of that? And how am I listening to God in the midst of that? Not quite a half of my income comes from real estate, and real estate has been shut down for the last 9 weeks, just opened this past week. So I had a lot of extra time, so to speak, on my hands, no income, no pay, not a lot of options. There was some ways to work at self-employee, getting reimbursed with that and those things. But I chose to just take that time to say, I'm going to use that time to do other things. A lot of it ended up being stuff that I did for the churches, because that somehow ramped up where there was greater need and intensity, which is okay. But the other thing that Brenda and I did was we started tackling the space in our 1.1 acre kind of mature oak forest around our house. Never really had tackled the most of that other than the front third of that acre, which was our house and the lawns and driveway. And so we started cutting down woods and wood that was laying down and kind of clearing out space. And some of you know that I built Brenda a floating deck out in the one side of our house, and that was there a couple years ago. I built it for her, but I'm the one that spends most time on it. In fact, here is just quickly a picture of the of that particular space at our house. Most mornings, if it's not below 40 and it's not raining, you'll find me out here, right here on that bench. Sunrise, 5:30-ish, 5:45-ish, watching the sun come up and spending time praying. And I've not done it with perfection, and I'm not into some routine where I have to do it. But one of the things God's been stirring in me is that sense of, I want you to slow down, Keith. I'm pretty driven. I like to get a lot done. And the reality is, I'm because of how I'm wired, it's a little hard for me to stop and just be still and listen. So it's been a spiritual discipline to not try to solve or fix things, which right now, honestly, I can't solve or fix the church situation around us. I can't solve or fix the real estate situation. And I surely have no idea how to counsel my governor or other people with all my wisdom about how to do things, because I don't have the information. I'm not there. I have ideas, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're grounded or rooted. And it doesn't mean God couldn't give me kingdom ideas, but they're probably not ones that I'm just going to say, oh, I know what to do here. They're probably ones that God has given because I and we have stopped and listened and said, God, what are you saying in this setting? I mentioned the message, this whole thing. You know, at the end of the day, it isn't so much that whole phrase, well, I think that we should do this or I think we should do that. I'm glad you think that. I'm glad I think those thoughts, but it doesn't mean that you have the wisdom of God to know what to do there. But God could give you that wisdom. The question is, what is God saying? That was the core of the message I wanted to share. What is God saying? Where is the bench, the space, the floating deck that you have where you're stopping in this time to listen and say, God, what are you speaking to me? What is it that's on your heart here? What if God doesn't want us to step out of the current crisis because there's things that we have in our system, in our lives, in our culture that have to be exposed and it's going to take time? Am I willing to walk through that? I don't want to, but am I willing to walk through that if that's what God is doing? And I've heard enough prophetic words out there to wonder, is indeed there something here that's much deeper, that God is causing these things to crumble, to fall, to be exposed for what they are? My need to be in control and to be busy often means that as long as I'm doing that, I feel good about myself, but I may have little time to listen to God, and I may have little time to really engage in the work of the kingdom. And so as I spent time in this particular message, and I already in this setting, you've heard it, and so I'm not going to go over it again, but I wanted particularly to focus on this particular definition of clarity that I shared came out of my time in Bulgaria on a learning journey, where we went, and in going, our desire in that context was simply to say, what is it that you're doing here in this place, God? And I shared how that word clarity came. But this clarity is a way of seeing, listening, hearing, and perceiving in the spirit with keen sensitivity regarding what God is doing in this time. All this thing was sent before COVID. All this stuff was there before we were open talking about that. But I recognize that as I wrote this out and then as I reviewed it, that primary focus is not on me gathering more information or intellectual understanding. It's stopping and it's saying, God, what is it that you are doing? What is it that you are saying? And I would just really encourage us as a body to be taking the time to stop and listen and say, what is God saying here? Not how can we fix this? How can we get this back to what it was? Quite honestly, I don't think we're going to get back to what we were. I don't know what new normal is. And most people are tired of new normal and social distancing and all these terms because we're like, I don't want to hear that anymore. But at the core of this whole thing, the question really is, what is it that God is wanting to speak to us? I think back to the last part of that passage that I shared from in Mark chapter 4, and for me, it was really at the core of this. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. This hearing, listening and hearing and understanding what God's doing. Pay close attention to what you hear. And the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. And I think, again, that sense in my heart is this is a time of encouragement to be even more attentive to what is it that God's speaking? What is it he's stirring? What is it that he wants to catch my attention with in the midst of this time of, yeah, stay at home, not being able to do things, and worrying and saying, but God, how are you going to provide for me, for us, for our community, for my neighbor? It might not even be you. It might be your neighbor that God you're looking at and saying, they can't do this forever. I'm working, but they're not. What is God going to do in the midst of that? And so that's really the heart of my message. I'd really value us being able to spend some time around the questions that I asked. At the end of that message, and that I wanted to come back to, you know, what do you sense God is speaking to you in this highly unusual season? And then maybe more of a practical application beyond this particular time of interaction. Is there any place you need a greater sense of clarity as you reflect on this, what God might be calling you to do? And I just encourage us to spend some time processing and particularly talking, what do you sense God speaking to you during this highly unusual season? So I'm going to open it up. If anybody wants to unmute and share something, reflect, ask questions. I don't have all the answers. I only share from what I sense in my heart. And that becomes a place and space for us to together continue to become and be the people of God at this time. So who will be first? What God's been speaking to you, what you've been sensing.
When and how can we speak to our government on the sin of abortion? We're worried about the virus, but all the babies that are being destroyed. What's the appropriate way to speak to that issue?
Well, I would just say, John, you know, that is on your heart, and one of the things that God may be speaking to you in this time. That's not one to ignore, but I think in the midst of that, the question really becomes what strategies is God giving to us in this particular time and place? And or is this the time to suddenly raise that in the middle of the other things? Because sometimes you can confuse issues. So I think I'm not going to answer that directly. It's indirectly. What is God speaking to us about this right now? Particularly in the midst of this situation. And I don't have the answer to it, but I think it's one of those ones to say, not so much what have we done in the past to respond to this, but what is it God's calling us to and inviting us to do now at this time? And only God can speak that to us, because there may be a whole new way in which he's going to bring light on this that we never would have thought of if it wouldn't have been for the pandemic. So that's not the answer. It's some thoughts. Others. What's God been speaking to you? What have you been sensing?
I think initially it really was a sense that God is getting the attention of the lost, things that were outside that would fulfill and satisfy, and they didn't see a need for him, which now they would turn to him. But I think even more recently is it's also being all at the same place, in a sense. He's calling the church to unity, being reminded of that as our oneness is what's going to show them who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So it's not only to reach out to the lost, but it's also to call his church to a oneness. And I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. That's just a first initial thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I would just say that's one of the things that I have sensed very strongly is that God's calling us to that place of oneness. And we're very divided. And we're often divided around opinions, but not necessarily around what God is saying, what God's speaking to us. And so this gives us a chance to unhook in some ways from opinions and saying, how does God see this, and how is God inviting us to engage and respond in that? United, not with voices barking at either end of the spectrum. So very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, Keith, I think, we've been talking a lot, and I just would like to say, thank you so much, Keith, for all your support for us as leaders. Truly, this is one of the times when we just couldn't have done it ourselves, and we can never do it ourselves, but we feel it deeper, and sometimes, and this is one of those times. So I'm just so grateful for how you've helped us hear from your heart and other leaders as well. It's just been invaluable. Yeah, and one of my questions with clarity is, in addition to all the stuff it's kind of done to me personally, how do we, with all the voices, you mentioned the voices kind of clamoring, and one way that we hear God is through others, obviously Proverbs is clear, said, and I've sensed that even more this time, but how do we discern the voices, all the different voices we're hearing? I don't know if you have thoughts on that and how we come to clarity, especially in the midst of all the clamoring around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely do hear from the Lord through others. But one of the things I have sensed is that too often we rely on that. We rely on some source out there. If I can just find one more Facebook post to affirm what it is that I think, if I can just find one more news release that affirms what I feel or whatever. And if we spent as much time reading the Word of God and then reflecting what God is speaking to us as we do on Facebook, we might be hearing some different things. And so I think my response to that is I'm cautious about trying to find my primary source of direction from the prevailing voices that are out there at the polls, at the extremes, when we talk about being polarized, and asking the Lord for wisdom to know how to respond. Because the response isn't saying, you're wrong on the left, you're wrong on the right, and I'm right in the middle. That's not the right response. I think the right response is to say, there has to be a third way, a different way that we're engaging with this. And it has much more to do with finding a gracious way that we engage with the people around us that are in a place of brokenness. If we're going to be the church to connect with those who are longing to connect with the Savior, our patterns of being very judgmental and very self-righteous will only pop up again in those places, and it will drive people away. So this creates a place where potentially that playing field, so to speak, or engagement field is leveled, because we're recognizing some of our own sense of superiority and spiritual kind of, self-righteousness, because God allows us to see that in the midst of places where things are torn apart. All that said, we have to be listening to particularly the prophetic voices around us. But I've also recognized that as one who often finds myself as a moderate in between, that I hear prophetic voices in the church on the left and right, and I hear God in both of those, but I'm saying there has to be a way where somehow those things are brought together. And that becomes part of the internal work of sitting with and listening and being present with each other and with God. Sometimes instead of saying, you believe differently than I do, and therefore all I can do is argue with you, is to instead say, I hear what you're saying, or I want to understand what you're saying. Could you tell me more why you feel that way? I sat with a church leader recently that was really pressing to open. We got to open. I said, so tell me why. What has God spoken to you about how we have to open? He said, well, we have to be the church. If we're not together, then, and we can't gather on Sunday mornings, then we're gonna lose our sense of community, and we're gonna fall away from Christ. And I said, really? So your relationship with God and the people there is primarily rooted in saying, if I'm with other people, I'm gonna be able to make it. And I said, I think there's something else here, and that is, what is God saying in the midst of that may look different than what you and I imagine? And that's what we're used to. It doesn't mean we shouldn't gather together. It doesn't mean we shouldn't connect. We're doing it right now. But it doesn't feel the same way as that feel-good feeling when we're all together and we're like, now we did church. Well, did we do church? Or did we connect as a community and forget to challenge each other to go out and be the church the entire week? Because we're more comfortable with gathering and putting in that time because that's what is expected. So that's those are the kind of things I imagine, don't know how to say them because I don't want to be judgmental, but I do want us to be thinking deeply in the midst of what God might be speaking to us during this time. I don't know if that helps Troy or not. Someone else, either a question or else, what have you been sensing? What has been stirring in your heart as these 9 weeks have gone by and you're kind of saying, wow, I need to hear from you, Lord. I need to know what's on your heart.
One of the things that's been coming to my mind frequently, probably I first heard the phrase just from a friend, and she just brought up, where's my hope? And I feel like that's just a phrase that keeps coming to mind when I'm thinking about something or reading something or whatever. Where's your hope, Carmen? Is your hope in your immune system, your ability to do certain things a certain way? So just the phrase, where's my hope, I feel like is the phrase that God keeps coming to, bringing to my mind.
And I think those are the kinds of nuggets of hearing from God that help redirect the way we go about life. And so I just would encourage you, Carmen, not only to take that in and treasure it, but also to keep planting that seed where it might grow in other places so that in truth, I can say my hope is in Jesus Christ, but when struggles come along and I'm getting half of my income, and that's better than some people in that context, but I look down the road, or my daughter whose salon was shut down, she's an owner of a salon in Lititz, and she's like, I don't know if we're going to make it, Dad, you know, and those things come in. Where is our hope? Keep redirecting, because in truth, a huge percentage of the world lives this way all the time, and persons of faith are saying, God, we trust in you, even though we don't know where our provision for food is going to come tomorrow. We're not used to that because we don't live in that reality, but it gives us the opportunity to, in a sense, recalibrate around our hope is in you, Jesus. We're going to continue to look to you. We're going to ask you to guide and direct us, and we're going to trust in you to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider, though we don't know how to do that very well because we're usually used to Keith, our provider. Not you for me. I'm talking for myself. I can't provide for you. So, others, what have you been sensing God speaking?
We're just, I think, over and again, sensing God calling us into just imagining, kind of creatively imagining. What a new normal can look like, one that's better than what we've had, a way that he can bring good out of a difficult situation. Part of that is within our family and investing in our four kids who are now all around us all the time. And we can look at that in a negative way sometimes, but investing in them and sort of remembering long-term the power in investing in our kids to be kingdom builders, even starting young and even as they grow older into teenage years and beyond where they have more influence. This is an opportunity where we can be home more and more intentional about investing in them. But also thinking about our neighborhood. And while it's probably more difficult to connect with our neighbors, I feel like God's taken us to places where we're having to imagine
what it could look like to do church differently, to do church in a way that's not just putting in time, but that's really kingdom looking, kingdom building, particularly in our family and in our neighborhood. Just we're expecting God to sort of release that spirit-led imagination to think outside the box in the ways that church has done. So,
thanks, Chad. And I would just say, I think as you talk about, in a sense, the carpe diem is the concept in Greek about seize the moment. You know, this is the time to take a hold of that. And I think whatever the circumstances are, finding a way to seize the moment, the things that wouldn't be there otherwise, and then actually asking the Lord to help you develop holy habits that allow that to go beyond the severe lockdown, but into what are the ways that plays into our lives down the road, our attentiveness to our neighbors, our attentiveness to our families, our attentiveness to each other. How are we doing in our congregation? Is there anyone that is in a place where they're needing financial assistance or walking with or whatever? And have we created enough community where people could say that, or is there fear that that's going to make them a second rate citizen because they have to acknowledge where they're at in the midst of this? And so I think really being attentive to that place and space where we're creating holy habits that change the way we engage and interact beyond just getting through this time. So thanks, Chad. I'm not going to belabor it, but I am glad for a couple more, if there's others that are on people's hearts, of what God's been speaking. And then I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as a congregation.
I appreciated your challenge, Keith, to not run away from things that are blurry or unclear, but to press into that and seek clarity. There have definitely been times for me that I have felt overwhelmed or lonely or scared of what things look like, or, you know, not knowing how to make decisions that I need to make. But a simple prayer that I have prayed through this time that has been helpful is just saying that God is engaged, and so I can engage. Just feel like God has been so faithful in meeting me in that. The more that I press into him, he gives clarity. And that doesn't look like, I have all the answers for the future, but just clarity enough for the next step and for the decision that's in front of me. So that's been some of what I've been hearing.
Thank you. Very good.
I wonder how far out on a limb we are willing to go to help unemployed people. And while it's usually easier to give than receive, we also need to learn how to gratefully receive when we think we have more than others.
Yeah, I think that that really becomes a key place, is looking at it and saying, when we're in places of uncertainty, it's easier to hoard and protect because you don't know. I don't know what's down the road. I don't want to be the foolish virgin that lost all the oil because they weren't ready. And yet in that context, what's the posture in which we're attentive to, aware, and we create a culture and a community where we're allowed to talk about things like that with one another without feeling like there'll be judgment? And that's hard to create. For those of us who grew up in Mennonite background, we were trained that we were to be servants all the time, serve others, and to care for others and provide for them and do those things. But I have found that as Mennonites, ones who grew up in this context, we're some of the most proud people when it comes to places where we're in need. And even when somebody would volunteer or want to give us something, to say, no, I can't accept that. I can't do that. And I've actually gotten very angry with people in that context where they've responded that way, partly because I recognize in the spirit there's something that's unhealthy there, as saying, have you ever given to somebody else and felt blessed that you could give them that? and felt like you were used by God? And they would usually respond, yes. And then how would you be able to be that arrogant or that, in a sense, self-sufficient that you would deprive me of a chance to be able to gift you with something because I sensed that it was what I was supposed to do? And a recognition that we're pretty comfortable as long as we're in the driver's seat serving others. And that makes us, in some sense, feel good, feel Christian, feel, you know, whatever. But if we're in a needy place, we tend to retreat and we try to hide it because we don't know what others will think of that, and or the underlying sense is we should never have to do that. So I just, again, in this context, encourage the culture at Living Light to be one where there is need, there's the ability to transparently and openly process and interact around that without judgment. One more person.
I've been reminded that our hope is in God. Someone has pointed out that God is now demonstrating his superiority over the gods of our culture, just as at one time he did in Egypt, in the area of finance, the stock market, with our jobs, employment, the workaholics who find their identity there, professional sports shut down. And so the reminder to me is our hope is in the Lord. And I understand from some reports that I've heard that churches are reporting that their online attendance exceeds that of the in-person attendance before the pandemic. And so people are, I trust, becoming more spiritually aware. And just a context for what John Groff was saying, I think his concern is that our governor has, it's been deemed that Planned Parenthood is providing essential services through abortion, and their services need to continue at this time. A sad commentary on our society.
I really, really appreciate that, Glenn. And I just would say, I think that reality of recognizing that there are God's idols, that's really a word the Lord spoke to me early on in this pandemic, that there are idols that God is going to expose and allow to fall. I want to collaborate with God in that, but not assume that I am the one to make it fall. And that often becomes we become almost militant to address something or do something. And I'm saying, what is God inviting us to do? Because there's times where he is the one that brings it down by allowing people to make decisions into a corner where it's exposed for what it is. And I'm not always wise enough to know how to allow it to get there, because I want to speak for truth. And it's not that we don't speak for truth, but sometimes God's saying, more than speaking right now, I want you to pray. And other times he says, I want you to pray. And out of that, this is the time to speak and to be, again, what is God saying to us in the midst of this? Not how have we done it in the past, or what is the way we're supposed to do here? What's the right thing to do? It's more, what is God calling us to do in the midst of this? So that's really a helpful platform to pray into this situation. Thank you, Glenn. And I'll just close my time with a prayer here. Lord, for this body, this fellowship of believers, have a great deal of love for this group of believers, partly because I was able to walk with them through transition from one leader into interim into another, and watching your hand of provision. And so I just pray, Lord, today for encouragement for this group, for a sense of blessing, for that place of hope rooted deeply in you and not in our circumstances, for that place where we encounter you at a very deep and profound level. Lord, I ask that you would continue to provide for each one of them spiritually, family-wise, and financially in what is needed. And I ask that generosity would flow deeply in this body. I ask, Lord, that there would be within this group a keen sense of you guiding and directing, and also the ability to say, where are the prophetic places that we're to speak up or to respond? And Lord, I ask that in all of that you would give us new ways, creative kingdom ways to be engaged that don't necessarily follow the patterns of the past, but that are a part of your patterns of the future that allow that which you have already spoken out from your heart to be, that it would happen in our midst. And Lord, we do ask, I just pray particularly for the idols that our culture worships and that we are complicit with, idols of prosperity, idols that center around self-sufficiency. These are all ones that for us to be what you're calling us to be, they have to be exposed. Expose them in our lives first in the church, Lord, we pray. Rather than us going out and trying to expose other people's flaws, would you expose the places in our hearts where we're falling far short of your plan and what you long for in this context? Lord, I ask that you do all that you want to do in the church, unifying the church, bringing something fresh. And however long it takes, and I don't say that because I want us to suffer longer, I want your kingdom to come longer and your will to be done longer in fullness. And so I pray a blessing over Troy and Michelle and their leadership, and Lord, over the lead team, over other congregational leaders, and really every family unit, every person that's a part of this. I speak blessing. I speak the very sense of the presence of God and the provision of God to do that which is immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine. We pray this all in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I may hang around a little bit, but I may have to bop out here, but glad to be able to connect with you guys and to be able to share with you and hear some of your responses. Very, very helpful. You're on the right track. Carry on, my friends.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. It's good to have you with us and to hear from you and to have the sharing together was really good. We are going to move into our sharing and prayer time as a congregation. So any praises from the week, ways you've seen God this week, or prayer requests that we can lift up together,